Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Big wild card weekend coming up. And, of course, the Giants and the Vikings, a matchup that, while the Vikings are the home team, a division winner, and obviously should be the favorite team, a 13-game winner, I think there's a lot of people that look at the Giants like, don't sleep on them. They can win this game. And a lot will probably have to do with Saquon Barkley. So we'll get into all that with him. And I also want to think, Bart, I want to know what Ninko thinks about what you said yesterday about where his old teammate, TB12, could end up. And it could be back in the AFC East, just not back in New England. Meanwhile, the NBA All-Star voting second run now has been released. A little bit of changes, but not much. So LeBron James still at the very top with the most votes in the Western Conference. He's got the most votes of any player. Kevin Durant remains with the most votes of any player in the East. Kyrie Irving has the most votes of any guard, and Steph Curry in the East, and Steph Curry has the most votes of any guard in the West. Remember, we noticed that Knicks players were absent the first time around. Julius Randle has moved into the top 10 in front court voting. But when you look at the guards' top 10, Derrick Rose is still in there. He's at 9, which Derrick Rose hardly plays, so this is a popularity thing for sure. Jalen Brunson is nowhere to be found.
No?
I find that hard to believe. How is Jalen Brunson not in the top 10 in guard voting? And I get that he's not like a national name. Like, again, LaMelo Ball, who's hardly played, you know, I get it. But Jalen Brunson's been playing his ass off, man. He should be an all-star.
See, the problem is, like, the Knicks, even though the Knicks do get primetime games, don't you guys have a game for Martin Luther King Day?
Yeah, MSG's doing it, though. We got it.
Yeah, I'm saying it.
I believe ESPN picks that game up. I know they just picked up a game, the Knicks-Celtics game that originally we had. TNT took it. Later in the month.
It's just one of those things, man. Like, you've ever seen, like, a young guy come in that's – trying to get a name, but he doesn't play on a big market. You don't see him enough, and he don't get the love that he deserves. I feel like it's that. You know what I mean? I feel like it's that with Jalen Brunson. He kind of came on the scene, popped on the scene when Luka got hurt, and he just, you know, people paid attention to him carrying the team and playing big time in the postseason.
Right.
And I just feel like he's a year away. More we talk about him, like you talk about him, I talk about him. You know, national, if they get in the postseason and he plays well, you know, puts up those 40 burgers, puts them on their back, much like Julius Randle had to do, right? He had to put the team on his back and play at such a high level just to get the regular attention that a guy like Trae Young would get. Because, you know, NBA is about brand names. And right now he's not a brand name. And that's unfortunate because sometimes the parachute fans don't see that, and it's easy for the media to paint who we're supposed to look at. We're so enamored with Donovan Mitchell right now and Kyrie Irving that we don't even give him the love that he deserves, you know, because he's that little guard. You know what I mean? He's not a James Harden big guy. It's not flashy. It's not flair. It's just gritty. And, you know, much like Villanova players, that's kind of how they that's how they roll anyway.
Yeah, no, that's a good point about the Villanova thing. So the guards in the East that are getting all the votes, Kyrie is at the very top, which is not a surprise. Donovan Mitchell, number 2, also not a surprise with Cleveland. James Harden is kind of way back in third with the Sixers. Then you have Jaylen Brown with the Celtics, Trae Young, which he really hasn't had a great year.
Anything, but he's
and he's getting more and more unlikable. Like you can see that Hawks team's under 500; they're not very good. But Trae Young is a name that everybody knows. DeMar DeRozan with the Bulls, LaMelo Ball, who's been hurt most of the year, and the Hornets suck.
Yeah, what about your fave? Though?
But he's good though.
What about your fave? Yeah. That graced the Madison Square Garden yesterday.
It's Tyrese Haliburton, who Quentin Grimes locked up yesterday. By the way.
Clack,
before
clack.
He got hurt, before he got hurt, Quentin Grimes locked him up. It's true, he did. And then Derrick Rose.
What? It's like, yo, man, we was hanging in there for the first 2 quarters, man. And then if I hadn't tripped, you know, yeah, like Quentin Grimes locking him up.
He was locking him up. And then he got, well, I'm saying, he was frustrating him for most of the game. And then he hurt himself and left the game. The weird thing is that that's when the Pacers came back. The Knicks were up by 25 when he was hurt.
Yeah.
They came down to 2. Oh, my God. Derrick Rose is 9th in the voting. It's Derek not a lot Rose. Of votes, though. It's under 300,000 votes, but he's still getting votes. And then Darius Garland is 10th.
Wow, it's just, that's like, surprising.
You know what I mean? Like Brunson. So Brunson missed like 4 or 5 games with the hip injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was actually 3 games. He missed the road trip, hip injury. And since he's been back, he's averaging 33 points a game, shooting 50% from the field.
Yeah,
like he's been ridiculous. Like I didn't know he was like this consistently good. I had no idea. Like I thought he was good. I watched him last year in the playoffs. I actually covered the Western Conference Finals for ESPN Radio, so I got to see it firsthand. And like he was, you know, like he was really good. And he was good throughout that whole playoff. But then what he's been as a Nick is, I mean, is it corny if I call him Action Brunson?
I mean, that's cool.
No, you chuckled. Nice, it's corny though. It's corny, but I should let that go.
Let's see.
Should I let that go?
No, let's play with it. So it's
Action Bronson. Is it right? He's a Queens guy. He's a New York guy.
Yeah.
And it's like Mark Action Jackson was the last point guard for the Knicks to make an All Star team.
Charles Bronson.
Charles Bronson is right, and he's all his movies. He's always like a
Death Wish 5. Death Wish 6. He walked around the streets with a leather jacket,
Action
with
Bronson.
A slingshot, two
I
grenades.
Want that, I want that. I want that to. I want that to like kind of. I want that to become a trend. Action Brunson. Make it happen.
Gotcha.
Right? Vigilante. Whatever it is. Cold, stone cold killer. Whatever you want to call him, he's just been that for this team. Willing them to wins and just keeping them from just letting go of the rope. And I cannot believe that fans, at least in New York, have not recognized that to a point where they would vote for him. But yet they're voting for Julius Randle.
You know who's fallen?
Who's fault?
Darius Garland, man. Like, is he the Chris Bosh of this power team that Cleveland tried to put together? Is he Chris Bosh?
Donovan Mitchell is the alpha.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. He came and swallowed this dude up, man.
Well, it doesn't matter. Like, Garland's he's good, but he's not. Like, Donovan, that's why you trade for Donovan Mitchell, because he's that guy.
Darius Garland was special last year.
He's good. He was special. He was good.
He was special, man. Yeah. He's putting up numbers and carrying the team and just putting on the show.
Yeah. Well, they're in 5th right now in the East. The Knicks are 6th, just so you know. Think about that. They're 3 games back of Cleveland. 3. That's it. With a half a season to go.
Just imagine what they can give Julius Randle right now.
Will you stop? You're just causing trouble.
I'm just saying, man.
He had a hard time. He had a hard time last night. With the trap and the double team, like he looked like when the Hawks played him in the playoffs, like he really did struggle. I will say he absolutely struggled. But let me just get to this point because, and again, we're waiting on Ninko. The Knicks were up by 25, and it got down to 2 before they at least held on. Remember, Monday night they went up by 17 on the Bucks and ended up losing the game. Like, just couldn't make shots, couldn't get stops, all those things, and lost the game. And they have done this. I mean, this has happened throughout the season where they have had double-digit leads. I mean, I'm counting – I'm trying to get, like, accurate information on this, but I've counted about 7 or 8 games that they've lost when they've had a double-digit lead in the game. Could be more, could be around 7 or 8, which is – it's a problem. It's a serious problem. Jalen Brunson talked about it after the game.
We got to continue to be aggressive. We got to continue to just – push, find a way to win, find a way to keep being aggressive. Can't let her fall off the gas for a little bit. You got to be smart, but you got to be aggressive. And I think it's a minor tweak.
Bart, is it because they play, like their main guys have to play 38 to 40 minutes and maybe fatigue sets in later in the game? Their bench just isn't giving them anything with the short rotation. Is it simply that, or is it just in the NBA today, no lead is safe because of the 3-point shot? That's what Tibbs was trying to sell last night after the game. The ebbs and flows of games. I mean, teams, these leads go come and go. You've got to stay consistent.
But the Knicks have
cost themselves a lot of games now because they can't hold leads.
You go up that big, then you should be running guys off the 3-point line. You shouldn't be losing by the 3-pointer if that's the case, especially when you're up by that amount of points. You know, I still am a proponent that you do what you got to do to go get a guy like Zach LaVine, because what happens is the star gets tired.
Wait a second.
And the other team focuses on your star, and he wears down. And Tibbs grinds you out. Like, they need another score. They need somebody else that can be hot. You know what I mean? They will have a nice little scoring rotation with Barrett.
Barrett came back last night. He had 27. He was back from missing 6 games with the lacerated finger.
So can you imagine if they went out and got another can you imagine when I got another star and it didn't cost you those guys? Yeah, it cost you a little depth, but now you got guys who can carry the points and make big shots. So now it's harder to defend. I still believe they should go out and get Zach LaVine.
Well, I'll tell you what, Zach LaVine last night with the Bulls down three with the final seconds of the game took a two. So, you sure you want
okay,
that
maybe
guy?
They were deciding to go foul in the last seconds.
All right.
And Bart they go Hahn, for three later.
98.7 ESPN. Down home, Bart
hater.
Scott. You know what a guy? You know what guy we want, though? We want Rob Ninkovich, who joins us right now at ESPN NFL analyst.
Right. He know. You don't think he know about Zach LaVine? The guy is Mr. Chicago
himself.
He is himself.
A Chicago guy.
He's yeah. Mr. He's Mr. Italian beef.
Excuse me?
I'm just saying, it's Mr. Italian beef. It's a big thing in Chicago. Just ask your friends.
Nico, how you doing?
I love Italian beef.
Told you.
I will
big Italian
that.
Beef guy. Big,
now do you wet the bread all up with all that damn juice and then
we
got
to continue to be aggressive. We got to continue to –
I'm not a dip guy. You know, you don't want to dip it. It's like I actually put a little bit of red sauce on it. So Ricca Benny's or Pop's Beef in Chicago, go check it out. Real good stuff.
Do you have the carrots in there too? Like them carrots be hot as hell. What do they do? Pickle
no, that's
or something?
The jardinera. My dad likes the jardinera. He gets the hiccups. It's so hot. I don't like that. I don't do it.
Okay. Reflux.
Yeah. You got that acid reflux. You got to get that medicine that John Elway has in that commercial.
You don't want to lay down and just feel like a fireball flying up your chest.
No, definitely not. Hey, so, Nico, Bart had – and you guys probably talked today. You were both on Get Up, so I don't know if this was discussed between the two of you, but Bart had this interesting point that we discussed yesterday, and it's like a full circle kind of thing because now that we focus and everything's always about how does this hurt the Jets, you know, that's just where we are in this life. If Tua is not available to the Dolphins, not just this year, but maybe even next year, maybe there's concerns about what he can be after these concussions and the issues that he's had. There's a quarterback opening now in Miami. We know a certain quarterback who did try to get to Miami in some way, and then Miami had to pay a price for that, which is a couple of first-round picks. Could Tom Brady end up in Miami, and could the Jets now have to deal with Josh Allen and Tom Brady again in this division?
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. Now, I think if you're the Jets, especially with your defense in the front, the young front that you have, you'd almost be excited to just tee off against Tom Brady and smear him into the turf. I think it's not something that – I don't think it's a high probability. Let's put it that way. I think there'd be a higher chance for him to probably be with the Vegas Raiders than Miami. Mm.
But, the Vegas Raiders don't – it's tough, man.
That's bothering you, Bart, because I brought that up. I said that.
They can't protect anybody.
So you don't like that.
You have Armstead out there. Do you take to account that he tried to get there last year? And that's the reason Miami only has one first round or had one than two?
Yeah, but I think that, with McDaniels, with Josh being the head coach there, and then you look at the weaponry that they have offensively, granted, maybe Miami has a better – offensive line right now, I think that there would be, some interest with Tom going to a place where the offense would have the keys to the offense and already know exactly, everything about it top to bottom. I think that gives him an advantage. But Miami probably would be a place that it's enticing, but I just think about the fit. Maybe the fit would be better with somebody that he has had coach, with him for a long time. And we all know the relationship him and Josh McDaniels have.
Yeah, We talked about it a couple of weeks ago, like 2 weeks ago, right? It's the Vegas residency, TB12, right, on tour.
Yep.
Him and us.
On tour, spread it around the country, and you're close to Cali. So
that's it.
Easy for his family.
Makes sense.
Him and Usher sitting there, two old dudes sitting up in Vegas hanging out.
Right. Cher. Like, you get them all.
I just want to get your attention.
Nico, speaking of, though, Brady, he's never lost to the Cowboys. Do you look at that game the way the rest of us do, which is if the Cowboys lose this game? I guess finish the sentence. If the Cowboys lose this game, what happens?
If the Cowboys lose this game, they're looking for a new head coach.
Wow.
That's what's at stake here. Because if you're Jerry Jones, you're not spending the money on Dak and you're not doing all these things in your 80s to just lose wild card, wild card games. You're trying to do all this stuff to get back to a Super Bowl, and they haven't been there since I was in fourth grade.
Jeez.
So are you saying that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are probably the out of all the unlikely winners or underdogs, who do you have? Do you have Tampa or do you have the Giants as far as being a team that you would be least surprised to get the upset? Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa wins. I mean, look, I've seen crazier stuff happen, so I'd say the Giants would be a bigger shock just based on, you know, what they have talent-wise offensively. They don't have many receivers. They already played the Vikings really tough. They lost by 3 points. So we know that there's already a understanding of this matchup and key matchups. So I think I'd be more shocked with the Giants beating up on the Vikings than if Tampa and Tom come out on fire. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
What do the Giants have to do? What's like, if you're going to put priority one, what has to happen for the Giants to beat the Vikings?
They got to give Barkley the ball. They got to have the same performance that they had in week 16, I do believe, when they played the Vikings. He had 133 yards on 22 touches. He averaged six yards a carry. So if you can average 6 yards when you touch the football, that makes everything else that much easier. So I think they really need to make him the focal point of this game.
Nick, you've been there, done that, right? You've ran the gambit. You know everything and what it takes to win high-pressure games, Super Bowls, to be in meaningful games and show up in the postseason. What's the most important thing as far as, completing that journey is important? Is it the focus? Is it the effort? Is it the game plan? What's the biggest thing to your success in the playoffs?
I think it's playing loose. You know, I think it's playing free and not really overthinking about, you know, the situation. And I can think back to my first Super Bowl and my mentality versus the second and third, which we won the second and third. And everything comes down to one play. But I think in certain instances, you see people play tight. And when you play tight, when you think about the moment, that's when you make mistakes. So the best football I ever played was when you're just flying around making plays and you're not really thinking about much. You're just reacting to what's in front of you. And I think the best games that have been played that we've ever seen are guys just playing free. So, you know, look at, for example, like I even think like last week when we were watching Jacksonville play the Tennessee Titans, It looked to me that Trevor Lawrence was playing tight. Like he was playing, you could almost see it, that he was playing uncomfortable. You know, he was overthrowing guys. He was off target. And if he would just relax a little bit, he would have been a lot better. So I think it's just playing free, playing relaxed, and relying on your preparation.
So smoke a doobie before the game, and you'll be okay.
It won't test you. It doesn't matter. Hey, Nico, the options – There's going to be a handful, or more than a handful, of quarterbacks available, whether by trade, whether obviously being cut, moved on from, whatever it is, this offseason. If I'm going to give you two names, and you tell me which one that you would take for your team. Would you take Derek Carr or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Neither.
Wow. Okay. That's a good answer.
I'm going Jacoby Brissett.
Now, why?
I think he played really, really well. And Carr, I can't trust Carr in certain situations, and you can't rely on Jimmy G to be healthy. I'm going with somebody different.
Oh, wow.
That's a name I didn't expect, although, of course, there's Patriot blood there. But so is Jimmy G.
Yeah, that's.
I think Jacoby's played really well. You know, if they didn't pay what they paid for the quarterback that was coming back from their suspension, he'd still be their starting quarterback.
Now, what is it about Carr that you – because you said there's certain situations you can't trust him. Can you give me an example of one? Because we have a lot of Jets fans that are like, Derek Carr's got to be the guy, he's got to be the guy. And I'd love to get your perspective from the defensive side of, you know, what are things that are red flags to you about him?
Keep him in the pocket, right? Keep him in the pocket. He's going to throw you one eventually. He's going to be inaccurate at times. And I think that, you know, I would play games, and I think back to when we would play Cam Newton. You know, Bill would say, listen, we'll just keep them in a pocket. Let them throw the football, and eventually one's going to go our way. Like, we just got to make sure we keep the pressure on them. And I feel like Carr, like, there's never been an instance where you're like, okay, he's going to take over a game. Like, eventually something happens, and he throws you a football or there's a turnover, and it's because the more attempts that he has, there's going to be a moment where you catch him, you know, in a coverage that he didn't see, or, you know, you catch him on a blitz, or he tries to throw one in a tight window, and there's a turnover.
Be honest, the reason why you don't like Derek Carr is because he reminds you of an extra in a Captain Jack Sparrow movie, and you hate pirates. Be honest. Be honest.
He does, well,
looks like he got eyeliner on all the time.
He does have that built-in eyeliner. He does have that.
You know, Nico doesn't like pirates.
Maybe it's the situation he's been in, but he's been heavily paid for
the
production. You know?
Yeah, he could also stand in for Green Day anytime he needs to as well. last but not least, on the quarterback front, and I know you guys talked about this on Get Up this morning, as Rob Ninkovich joining us right now on the show, Lamar Jackson situation. Now, I'll go again with the hypothetical, just because of what we don't know now at this point, is if the Ravens decide that, you know what, this has been too much, we're willing to listen to offers for him. Or, like, would you still make the same move? I know probably about 2 months ago it's a given, like, no-brainer. But is it the same no-brainer now when you consider that he is still not available to his team for the playoffs and you know you still have to pay him?
No, I would be very cautious because of the injury, and we don't know the long-term effects of this thing. So that happens every year. You know, people bet on themselves every year. Some guys win, some guys lose. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, you're playing the stock market, man. You're out there trying to perform at a high level, and stuff happens outside of your control. You get injured, your value goes down. So, you know, if you were to say from the start of the season when they stopped talking about contracts till now, the number has gone down.
Yeah, that's unfortunate for Lamar Jackson. He bet on himself, and if he can't answer the bell, now he still could have recouped it if he came back and been a hero and helped them beat, you know, arguably one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl. But I don't know how he acts or he gets anything close to a guaranteed contract if he can't you know, answer the bell, because the big knock on him is that, you know, we thought that his legs and the style of play wouldn't lend itself to longevity.
Right, and that's the thing, and you got to feel like he's not the type of person that's not playing because of the contract situation. He's somebody that's not playing because he knows he can't. Right, none of us believe that this is, well, I want to be a free agent. If I go out there and I don't play well because I'm not 100%, it's going to cost me money. We don't want to believe that, do we?
He's an MVP. No, I mean, he don't got to prove nothing to nobody.
No, right.
It's a PCO, and you know, Bart earlier today talked about how there have been quarterbacks that have played with ACL injuries. I mean, I think it was
Philip Rivers,
the Chargers quarterback.
Yeah,
Philip Rivers.
But, like, the style of play is just so much drastically different that Lamar has to be able to run. You know, if Lamar is just a sitting duck in the pocket, like, I don't know if his arm talent is good enough. Like, the thing that makes him special is that dual threat and ability to throw from the run, which destroys you. So if he's not running a 4-4, you know, juking you out of your shoes, I don't know what he is. So I think that's another reason that you'd be cautious, because you don't know what the future is of a quarterback that used to be a runner and now he's a pocket passer.
Yeah, it is a scary situation in Baltimore right now, no doubt about it. Nico, thanks so much for the time. Always good to catch up.
All right, guys, be good.
Have Pop send us some Italian beef, son. Yeah. They can freeze it and send it to us.
Yeah, let's get some of that for sure. Our ESPN NFL analyst, obviously Ninko and Bart Scott, on together Thursdays on Get Up on ESPN TV. All right, 800-919-3776 is the number. The Lamar Jackson stuff, again, we talked about him as a potential that would be an aggressive option. If Woody Johnson, as Rich Cimini told us, said earlier today that he's willing to spend big for a quarterback.
250.
That would fit the parameters of spending big. But if you've got now this concern about this injury? Wait till you hear what John Harbaugh had to say about that situation. We'll play that for you next. We got your calls as well. If you're a Jets fan, are you still in on Lamar Jackson if somehow he becomes available?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
The Lamar Jackson situation right now down there, I know you're close to that stuff because you were a Raven. Mm-hmm. Like, what's your level of concern for him? I mean, he's not going to play this weekend. Yeah, right? He hasn't practiced.
They're talking about extreme swelling. Nico said that how the PCL can be sometimes worse than the
right.
The ACL, because it's no surgery really for it. You just got to let it heal.
Right.
Talked about some of the teammates he knew with it. So just trying to figure out, like, I think if he goes to another team, of course he'll be healed up and fine by then. But
it's like the first time he's had a real – like last year I know he was banged up, but –
it was a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, this year that one feels like the first one that now makes you say, uh-oh.
But it's not a Kyler Murray one. That's the whole thing. You feel like, you know, 2 months off, he'll be fine. It's no surgery. It's not a
spring.
Surgical.
Right.
Yeah, it's not a surgery. It's just in sports, we need you to heal up fast. But in real time, 2 months is fast.
Mm-hmm.
But in football, that's an eternity.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like we wait for KD to come back. We're like, oh, MCL, man, ain't
it's
that bad.
It's going to be a month. Yeah.
It's like, oh, a month. Like, man, we need you back. Like, how about we give you 4 games off? Like, nah, man.
A month?
Don't work like that.
How about I give you 4 games? You just play one half. Here's John Harbaugh, the coach of the Ravens, who is kind of getting tired of having to answer questions each day about Lamar Jackson.
I don't have any really thing to add on that. No updates at this time.
His fans do. They go and they say, oh, this has to be contract related. What do you say to fans that think that that's the reason of this?
I don't really have anything to say to him right now because I'm focusing on the game. You know, really, I mean, that's what we're focusing on. So that's it, really.
I don't like that part of the answer because Barty, he does if he shouldn't he have said there, no, the guy's hurt. Right? Like he had been protecting Lamar a lot publicly. This is the first time he would not shoot down any at least notion that Lamar's not playing because he's probably like, I could, but then I'm not 100% and if I don't perform well, that's gonna cost me money.
Well, this is a team that has Super Bowl aspirations, and they went out and made the trade for Raekwon Smith, acknowledging that they need a more dominant presence, and made him the first $20 million linebacker in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And so they feel like, man, we right here, man, and Lamar, we need some help. And you're unwilling to answer the bell. Remember, like I said before on Get Up, this is an organization that I witnessed Terrell Suggs, Terrence Achilles, early in the season, come back and play in the playoffs, and they win a Super Bowl. This is the place where I saw Terrell Ray Lewis come play. I watched Peter Bowyer play with a harness the whole year with one arm. I watched Samari Rowe after battling with epilepsy and having a seizure and almost biting his tongue off and having to get his C7 fused, come back and play in a playoff game like 3 weeks later. You know what I'm saying? So that's the organization. That's what they're used to seeing. But Lamar Jackson doesn't have that long-term security. Terrell Suggs had long-term security. You know, Samari Rowe had that. He doesn't have it. I don't know if he's willing to risk it. And that the fact that John won't just say he's injured tells me that sometimes you have that argument. Is he healthy? Are you hurt or are you injured?
Right. And that's the part I'm wondering.
Are you hurt enough to play and you just won't?
Uh-huh.
Or are you really truly injured and you can't answer the bell? Right. Either way, it's going to be frowned upon as far as trying to get that guaranteed contract, 250 or 230.
Yeah, exactly. You'd have to believe that if John Harbaugh knew that this guy, he's not right, and we shouldn't, let's not let that narrative get out there. Like, coaches, John Harbaugh's aware of what people would be saying or thinking, but he doesn't shoot it down. Like, that really caught my attention. And again, if you're the Jets and you're trying to figure out your options as quarterback, that's got to get my attention too. Let's go to Pennsylvania. We talked to Jason. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I'm a long-suffering Jets fan, and I never wanted any part of Lamar Jackson, not because of his ability and his talent. He's clearly dynamic, and he's a video game character.
Yeah.
But we're not one player away, and I would never want to commit the amount of resources that it would take to get him and blow up our cap where we can't pay half the team. But my answer to Lamar Jackson would be a question. Why would any quarterback or offensive coordinator or coach want to come to this dysfunction that is the Jets? Why would a quarterback want to play for a team that has no offensive line? And why would a coach want to come here when he's like, look, this guy could be a dead man walking coach, and I'm going to be one and done? That's the thing that gets me, is that the Jets are always dysfunction first.
Where's dysfunction? I just have to stop you for a second.
Go ahead. Where's the dysfunction?
They made the jump from number 30 in defense to number 4. You talk about they don't have offensive line. Avere Tucker was on his way to having an all-pro year.
Yes.
Right? Langton Thompson is a pro bowler.
Not Tucker. He's the best. Yeah, he's the best.
Okay, so if they can keep Mekhi Becton, and I know that's a big if, it's not that they don't have the personnel. They just all got injured. Breece Hall is tremendous. Tell me this.
Breece Hall was on his way to the rookie of the year. Tell me this.
What skill positions would you take? Would you take the Ravens skill position group, or would you take the Jets?
Well, both defenses are skill positions.
No, Ravens defense. Ravens defense is not in the category with the Jets. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about receivers,
skill running position.
Right,
tight ends.
Yes, I take the Ravens never addressed their skill position.
Right. So you answered your own question, Jason. You see, when you said like, why would you want to come here? It's because you have a better cachet of weapons with the Jets than he ever had with the Ravens. I mean, that's a whole other conversation.
J.K. Dobbins equal. You talk about Garrett Wilson superior. You talk about Elijah Moore superior. Even Corey Davis would be the number one receiver on the Ravens team. And you talk about if the Jets just averaged 22 points a game, then they would be 11. They would have 11 wins. You don't think Lamar Jackson can get you those 11 wins by getting you 22 points? Hell, he's a walking bucket, man. This dude opens up everything. He's the most dangerous weapon in the world without any weapons around him.
And the defense, sorry, Bart, but the dysfunction I think Jason's trying to refer to is the fact that you're firing coaches. Your young quarterback that you drafted has not panned out, and maybe some of it's your fault.
That's almost every team in the league.
I get it, and they have this feeling, and I think it is
well
earned.
Narrative.
No, it's not. For 12 years, this team has been dysfunctional.
But
they have not been good enough. They have lost. Right? I'm just pointing out facts.
No, I get that, but ever since
and
they
so that's
in
that
Joe
feeling
Douglas.
Of helplessness of we're never going to be good. Because when things were going good this year, what happened? The bottom dropped out. Breece Hall got hurt. Mike White got hurt. Like, things just happened, and you just were like, we can never have anything good.
Was this a year ago where Urban Meyer was in Jacksonville, not in the playoffs?
Oof.
Wasn't this just 2 years ago when the NFLPA was telling free agents do not sign with the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Correct.
Like, what are we talking about? The Jets have never been that. Mm. They've never been that.
Been close.
They ain't been no Urban Meyer. Fair. They ain't never had a coach.
No, as crazy
as Laser Beam was, he was never no damn Urban Meyer.
They did have Rich Kotite, but that was well before your time.
Yeah, I wasn't even born.
Yeah, that's a year I'll never forget. I know Rich Shimini will never forget it either. I think that was his first year on the beat. You could never forget.
That's baptism by fire.
It certainly is.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Ray in Babylon. What's up, Ray?
Hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Fart, this question's for you because you played the game. You were on the Jets. You know, in recent memory, the Jets culture. Do you really believe with this offensive line. I know we got Vera Tucker and, you know, you got Becton, but the way they ended the season, do you really, really believe, and you're an honest guy from, you know, everything I've heard, you know, when you do your broadcasting, do you think like an Aaron Rodgers behind this line is going to be an Aaron Rodgers, or a Tom Brady's going to be a Tom Brady behind this line? They put Mike White in the hospital. When George Fant got off of injured reserve, and he's the veteran lineman, we can't. It was just horrible. So it is a win-now team. I could see the attraction of an Aaron Rodgers or, you know, God forbid, as a Jet fan, the Tom Brady coming here and winning another Super Bowl, because we do have the talent. But with that porous defense that, as you would say, can't stop a nosebleed, you honestly believe that with this line, a quality quarterback's going to make a difference?
Our defense was fourth in the NFL. They gave up the fourth least amount of points. I think they were second in giving up points. This was an elite defense that stopped some very high potent, you know, offenses. Shut down Tyreek Hill. Shut down Justin Jefferson. You know, shut down some, you know, Stephon Diggs. So it's not a defensive problem. This is a young group that's only going to get better next year as well. You know, now to answer your question about the offensive line, you know, I think, you know, they just ran out of people. I mean, you got Max Mitchell, who was a great draft pick, was a rookie playing at a high level, gives you hope that, hey, even if Fant's not back and Becton can't stay healthy, this guy's a player. But he got blood clots. How can you see somebody getting blood clots? You can't plan for that, yeah. Right? Herbert got hurt, right? And just it was musical chairs. Dwayne Brown's like 75 years old. He played well early on, but he got rid of it. Like I said before, they need to go out there and get Orlando Brown Jr. That gives them a four-time Pro Bowler, a guy who was disgruntled with Kansas City that's playing on a franchise tag, and they couldn't figure out a long-term deal, so they're not going to franchise him twice. So he's probably going to be up. So he's a free agent. The only thing that costs you is money to go get him, and Joe Douglas knows him. You know, I think this is an attractive destination for everybody. Last year when Miami finished, Tyreek Hill became an attractive destination for Tyreek Hill. This is the Miami Dolphins now. They haven't been the model of success, you know, for in the recent future. This was their first season at the big times, and they had to beat the Jets in the last game to go to the postseason. So, listen, I don't think this is the mess that people think it is. I think they're just, you know, if they take the same strides they made last year, this a team that can go from 7 wins to 10 to 11. And if they go from 10 to 11, they're in the postseason, and then all bets are off.
John is in Manhattan. John.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
All right.
Okay, so I'm a disgruntled Jets fan. I'm more mad at Woody Johnson for letting LaFleur walk out the door. Looking at the quarterbacks who are available, we could go out there and get Jimmy G, who's familiar with the system. We got a top five defense. We got a offensive rookie of the year candidate in Mr. Hall.
You got two.
And
Garrett Wilson.
I'm sorry?
You have two offensive guys. Garrett Wilson might win offensive player of the year this year.
Yeah, for sure. So I don't know, you know, when you look at Tom Brady when he went to Tampa, Tom said it took him 10 weeks to get comfortable with a new system. If we bring in a guy like Derek Carr, we're starting from scratch. We had Mike White, who had a few years with LaFleur. He knows the system. He's able to go out there and perform 300 yards. You know, if the Jets are just a few pieces away and we're just like burning down the whole thing because Zach Wilson – is not loved by his team. He's not a leader of men, and he's not mature. I would like to see Zach Wilson as a third string quarterback playing against a scout team and getting time to mature and learn and progress through his reads.
I think that's what you're going to get.
Yeah, that's
Mike White didn't prove he could stay healthy for two years. Like that was the other issue with Mike White. And I agree on the adjustment period, but you're going to have it with anybody. And what Nico said about Derek Carr really concerned me. Like, Bart.
I didn't believe that. Like, Derek Carr has thrown for 4,000 yards four times in his career.
I know.
He's led his team to the postseason. He's been operating in dysfunction. You talk about the Raiders organization and the dysfunction that has been the Raiders ever since they drafted him. Coaches in and out. Coordinators in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Off-the-field issues. You know, management issues. General manager issues. Like, this. So, this should be a comfortable place for him. I just don't I just don't think this job is as bad as people think it is. And you talk about, you know, we just watched Trevor Lawrence figure out. If Trevor Lawrence can figure out a system and start playing very well at the second half of the season, why can't any veteran quarterback that has experience with terminologies, concepts already struggle, especially when his defense and run game can carry you until you figure it out? Mm. I mean, why would you – like, everybody's talking about next year. Listen – This ain't the end of the Jets window. The window just opened.
I do agree with that. I do think it's still just the beginning, but this is the time where the wrong decisions can set you back. That can get you off that track that you think you're
down
on.
Or doubling down on bad decisions just because you don't want to be uncomfortable and have to do more work can make you lead down the same road.
Yes.
The kid wasn't ready. You need a veteran coordinator in here that if you don't have the best of this or the offensive line that the San Francisco 49ers had, if you don't have the great tight end, the blocking tight end and Kittles that did that, that's where LaFleur came from. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that, okay, what else can you do? Are you just a system guy that only knows one system? You're 36 years old. You never coordinated before. So now you don't know. You're just going to try and work your system better. You can't switch your whole system up. Like, if you're a 3-4 coach and you got a 4-3 personnel, can you do that? Well, guess what? We watched Rex dominate with the Jets and the Ravens with a 3-4. He went to Denver. I mean, he went to Buffalo, had Mario Williams and I forget the big guy in the middle. They went to a 4-3. You know why? Because Rex was born in a system where he knows defense. Like, a young guy can't give you that. All they know in these young dudes, they know their system. Oh, I know the Sean McVay system. Okay, well, what if you don't got Sean McVay players? Can you change it and tweak it? Can you change it and tweak it? And that's what the problem was. When his players got hurt, he couldn't tweak it to be able to do what's best for the personnel that he had. That's what a coach does. They coach.
That's the part of it as well.
You need teachers.
Yes. And that again, is the decision you're going to make here. Is bringing a coordinator that is going
to I ain't got time for my coordinator to be making mistakes. I ain't got time to wait for my mistakes. I need to fix the mistakes of my players. I ain't got time to be making mistakes for fixing mistakes of my coordinator.
Well,
why do you think Daboll is a veteran? Wink Martindale is a veteran. Well, what happened? It was the difference in two or three games. The difference in two or three games is the difference between being in the playoffs and not being in the playoffs.
Nailed it. And that was the problem for the Jets this year. The difference of two or three games, both of them being the Patriots games that were quite winnable. You know,
get me in the damn end zone when I get down there twice against Minnesota. Figure out how to get me in the damn end zone.
Have a plan that you know. Well, I know this is going to
work. Where's the trick play? Where's the ring around the rosy? Man, Andy Reid is coaching circles around half these cats here, man. Like, because these guys are just one off and they all come from the same tree and they all know the same thing.
And this is why, again, the changes had to be made at least at that point.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.